Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Life Practice program. Take a moment to stretch up and settle in. If possible, with eyes open, note everything. Let your attention broadly float to the inner world and or the outer world. If you're pulled to something visual, a physical sight, a mental image, or a visual restful state, like the defocused gaze or the blank mental screen, inner and or outer visual activity or rest, note that as C. If you're pulled to anything auditory, inner, outer, active, or restful, hear. Same for body. Restful states in the body are physical relaxation, emotional peace. And we'll do this with exclusive emphasis. So if you're pulled to two or all three modalities at once, just choose one to note. And we're going to start on a dime. It's a micro hit of committed practice for about 10 minutes. If you find it challenging, use spoken labels. The labels are see, hear, feel. There is a fourth possibility. The tug of the senses might spontaneously release. You might not be drawn to anything on the inside or outside. Time out of time. Space out of space, the still point of the turning world, the omphalos or connection that is the nothing that links everything, might arise spontaneously. That's an absolute rest state. And with this technique, our label for that situation will be rest, meaning in this case, the absolute rest, the tug of the senses released, yet you were still conscious, pure consciousness. Without a scintilla of preference, let pleasant and unpleasant inner and outer activity and rest come and go without push and pull. Choiceless awareness, open presence. Many names have been given over the centuries. We'll call it note everything. Good. Continue to note everything. Good. Stay with that. See, hear, feel, or rest in the sense of absolute rest. It's all natural. It's all good. Okay, good. Now, let's transition to feel good. Nurture positive emotion in your body as a background practice as you listen to the interaction that's about to happen between me and John. And these are positive human interactions. In fact, they're one of the best human interactions that can happen. People sharing this path that leads to happiness independent of conditions and a spirit of service from love. So you're part of that by feeling good. Feel pleasant emotion in the body as you listen, which links you to myself and John, who are having the same experience. It's been a while, John. I am so pleased to have you on the program. What would you like to delve into in terms of life practice?
Shenzhen, good morning, and good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be on this call with you, and I'm so appreciative of these life practice period and home practice period programs that you've created and continue to evolve, because it's allowed me to continue to practice, even though it's tough to get away with the family. And the family is what I'd like to ask your help with implementing a life practice period. I have three boys, ages 14, 11, and 8. A wonderful wife, but I find that the home life is the most challenging place to bring mindfulness to. I'll briefly share, there was a time I was doing a little course, a little workshop on mindfulness to the family practice residents at the hospital I work at. And, one of the residents there who, came back to medicine after a career, she actually has four kids. She's, in her early 40s. She asked me, during the question and answer period, if I found that parenting, was a place where I spontaneously fell into mindfulness. Because, interestingly, for her, she found that that was the case, that as a mother, she spontaneously became more mindful. And I told her that for me, it was the exact opposite, that for me, parenting was the place where I most found that I was tightening up, that I was, prone to, saying things or doing things that were driven and distorted rather than motivated and directed. Now, certainly better, because of the practice. I mean, I don't know what it would be like if I didn't have the formal practice that I did and, all of that that carries over. But I really find, I really think that it would be of benefit if I could find a way to implement some life practice into my home life, specifically with my children.
Yes, definitely can make some suggestions. But first, let me ask a few questions. First let me make a comment. This is an interesting report that one person would find that the family situation naturally puts them into mindfulness, yet another person might find exactly the opposite. That would be an interesting thing to study and look into as a variable. I hadn't thought of that before, a sort of binary contrast. So my questions, you alluded to the home practice program. Do you make use of that with some regularity?
I do, and I have.
That's excellent. I just wanted to check because I think that having such a rich family life, you probably can't do residential retreats very much, but it sounds like you're able to compensate for that by using the home practice program, which was created precisely for people in your situation. So I just wanted to confirm that you do have a formal practice structure, at least in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I find I would probably be better suited to do the home practice period more at the time that it's occurring. There's times where I'm saying, oh, well, I'll catch the recording, and then I'm doing it at piecemeal, and that's still good, but not quite the same as being right there in real time, with the opportunity to ask questions and, really kind of participate in real time. I do have a daily practice. I was telling Emily that, if you can't be disciplined, be clever. One of your sayings there, I have some accountability buddies. So I meditate at least 25 minutes every single day. If I don't, we have to fess up. The next day, the rule is you have to call and tell on yourself. And, that's embarrassing enough. And at this point, I have five people that I have to report to. So it just takes longer to call them than it would to, do the practice. So I almost never miss it. So again, thank goodness for those things. And one other thing that was interesting when you mentioned that's why I reported that what's easy for one person is difficult for the other. I just found that fascinating too. I wonder if there's some gender, factors there. And the one exception was when, at times when they were very little, when they were babies, being with them would kind of draw you right in,
the Zen parenting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then as they lose their contact with the source, it becomes a different relationship. So to confirm, you do have daily formal practice, which is fantastic. What you might try to do to make the home practice supplementing for residential retreats more effectively is, you know, it's always the second weekend of the month. So you can, like, look forward on your calendar for 6 months and mark off that you would do at least one four-hour module on at least one of the days for every single month, and write it in ink and then pay in advance and tell everyone you're going to do it. So it's a fait accompli. It's another way that you can be clever if you aren't disciplined. But the good news is that you have a lot of momentum going into this challenge, because you've done in the past so many retreats, and you still have the home practice program and your daily formal practice. So that's terrific. I just wanted to make sure that those structures were all in place before I delve into the life practice aspect. And also, I would just like to remind everyone to continue to feel good as a background practice, if possible, with your eyes open. So you're getting practice for life. So I'm sure you've tried certain strategies to bring the practice into life, into the home life, and so forth. So based on your question, I'm also assuming those haven't worked dramatically well for you. Can you just briefly say a few things you tried and what happened when you tried them?
You know, I have to confess that I haven't really, you know, designed any formal strategies for bringing the practice into life at home. I have some strategies I use at work, and those, you know, I was just thinking last night, like, why haven't I tried some of those strategies I'm using at work at home? But I haven't yet implemented those.
Yeah, that's by the way, that's another thing that I get reports. So as you know, I have many students that are psychotherapists, and I've actually often heard a therapist say something along the lines of, if only I could relate to my family the way I relate to my clients, everything would be perfect in my world. And my response to that is, well, why don't you try doing that? So there are things you've done at work that have worked. It's is that correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
But, that absolutely helps.
So one sort of low-lying fruit in this conversation would be, you'll recall from the life practice programs, you've participated in this program before, is that correct?
Yes, I have.
As a listener. So you know how we always end with the what I call the ASIA process, A-S-I-A. That's something that you would do typically in the last couple minutes of your formal practice, if you have a formal practice that starts the day, is the best. But at the end, you analyze the day to come in terms of situations. Then you decide which situations you're going to do intentional practice. Will it be formal? Will it be informal? If informal, is it going to be a micro hit or background practice? And what techniques? So that's the strategize. And then you inspire yourself, you motivate yourself to implement that by, it's a cognitive, intentional cognitive not reframing, but framing of the day as a monastery and how important it is to monasticize the day and so forth. And you can do that as a hear good technique if you wanted, or you could just do it as a discursive thought, but you sort of inspire yourself, you motivate yourself to do it. And then when you begin your next period of practice, or when you your next morning practice, or when you end it, you analyze, you evaluate or assess. That's the final A. Okay, yesterday what worked, what didn't work, and that becomes the basis of how you'll do the day. So the first thing that comes to my mind is to go through that process and specifically include family times. And it makes sense to start with what has worked at work and see if indeed that works out at home. It may or may not, because the situation is different, but that seems to me to be a natural place to start. What have been some of the strategies that have worked at work for you?
Well, I just wanted to say, as you were going through the algorithm, the system just now, that it would be really helpful if I did that on paper, if I just took, 2 minutes to write that down, because I find that, when I'm doing the Asia at the end of the life practice periods, when it's in my mind, it's nebulous, I kind of have, maybe I'll do a little of this or a little of that at this point in the day or that point in the day, and it doesn't happen. I think if I write this down on paper, even again, if it's just 2 minutes, it's going to give me so much more clarity, and something to work from as I move forward. So that's something that just occurred to me that I think is terrific. One of the things I do at work is I pause every time before I go into a patient room. I completely stop, recenter. I have my hand on the door, and I kind of set an intention, say a prayer, may I be of service to this patient. Sometimes say, God, help me to be of service to this patient. And, just that phrase kind of brings me, centers me, kind of helps me to let go of, the what I was thinking about beforehand, lets me be present with that person. So that's one thing, that's one routine that I've had for years now that's really helped. And then, it just seems to be very helpful when I'm with a patient, and sometimes, when I'm noticing things come up, again, I just feel that I'm more centered, more focused. If I'm noticing irritation arising, say, for example, maybe just like now, you ask a question and the patient goes off on a tangent and, there's some irritation perhaps in that. I can feel that irritation, as energy, and not, have that drive and distort my behavior.
Let me ask a question. Would that be I just want to confirm, would that in this case be a strategy of focusing on your body and infusing so much CC&E into that emotional impact that it turns into flow?
Yes.
And you're able to do that consistently with patients?
Yes, I am.
So that would be a body awareness, and in particular using the momentum of the practice you've done. You've got that skill that you can pretty readily, quote, zap body emotion into a purification flavor. Is that correct?
Yes, and again, it's not all the time, but with increasing frequency. And this does happen sometimes at home too, and it's wonderful when it does. And also sometimes you know, at least it's enough to keep me from, you know, really going off the deep end when I'm, you know, upset with, you know, the kids or whatever else like that. You know, it's, you know, the momentum of practice I have keeps me from going completely insane.
Yeah.
And sometimes actually quite skillful, you know.
So have those been the practices you've mostly used at work, or is there something else besides those two?
Yeah, I'd say those are the most, those are the
okay.
big ones, right? Mm-hmm.
So here's what comes to mind. I think your idea of writing down your inspiration or your motivation is a really good, interesting idea, and I might use it, suggest it to other people. So thanks for that creativity. Another way, like you say, the strategize and inspire phase might be nebulous as you're doing it. Another way to make it not nebulous is to actually make it into a hear good practice, where you come up with a couple phrases or sentences that summarize what you're going to do, and perhaps even why. And you actually just make it a mantra over and over again, like 5, 6 times, 10 times in talk space. I'll do that to myself sometimes. Like you have to clean the kitchen. You have to clean the kitchen. You have to clean the kitchen. Or remember to clean the kitchen. Remember to clean the kitchen. I'll find that I'll just make it into a mantra for a few times to make it tangible. And as dumbass as it sounds, it actually helps. I find I'm more likely. So maybe mantrifying it as a hear good, or making it even more tangible by writing it down. What a great idea. And we can share that, and I'll see if others find that that's also helpful. So what I suggest is, at the end of your formal practice, you make a that kind of commitment and strategizing. You could also make it part of your accountability with the other people. It's like you could write it down, you could type it out in an email and say, here's what I said I was going to do, and you could weave it into that maybe. But the thing that you do at work with the micro hits before you see each patient, your work situation is ideally set up for those prompts, right? Because you have to go into the examination room. So your hand has to be on the doorknob as a periodic function of time during the day. Is there something at home that would cue you to the micro hits with that kind of periodicity?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
That's part of the, you see, that's part of what makes it more more challenging. And there may or may not be something that, you know, maybe you walk from this room to that room. Maybe you can come up with something that is an analogous prompt. The other thing that you might try is to have make a resolve to try to have as a background practice a kind of at least some awareness in the body throughout the day as much as possible, which would make you Johnny on the spot for the other strategy, which you're quite good at. So that would be sort of an attempt as much as possible during the day to have at least some intentional anchoring to the body. and perhaps even a sort of global awareness of the whole body. And I find an even coverage strategy can be very helpful for dealing with sensations that are likely to sort of strike at any given instant, because you're sort of ready. So that might be also something. So I think try what's already worked at work, and what's already worked for your commitments. And it's almost, you know, sometimes we have these like, why didn't I think of that before? It's so obvious. But it's often that way. And so I think any final questions or comments?
Yeah, no, this has been really helpful. Again, even just I guess if you can't be disciplined, be clever. You know, the fact that I knew that I was coming on to do this with you got me thinking about it. And like I said yesterday, I'm like, oh, you know, why didn't I think of this? But I'm really excited about, you know, doing as soon as I get off with you the Asia acronym on paper, you know, and to work with that. You know, thank you. I think that's a great. This is really going to be helpful. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, good. We'll take a few minutes for some final group practice, and then I'll invite you to give a valediction. Once again, take a moment to stretch up and settle in. And we'll transition from feel good to note everything. But of course, you might be drawn to pleasant emotion in the body. That's part of everything. For just a few minutes, if possible with eyes open, note everything. If you face a challenge, go immediately to spoken labels if your situation allows. See for anything visual, hear for anything auditory, feel for anything somatic. But if the tug of see, hear, feel, inner, outer goes away, you're experiencing absolute rest. Within the context of this technique, flexible labels, the label rest refers to that situation. God, continue to note everything. Okay, good. Now, let's go through the Asia algorithm. Analyze today in terms of situations. Some are long, some are short, some are banal, some are perhaps challenging. You can literally parcel the day up into a dozen or perhaps even more situations. In some of those situations, you'll do intentional practice. In others, maybe not. determine what mode of practice you'll be doing when you do practice intentionally. By mode, I mean, is it formal practice, micro hit, or background? And then what technique you'll be using. If you are going to then try to think of the motivation to implement this, why it's important. And also, look back to what you did yesterday in terms of commitment to life practice. What worked, what perhaps didn't work. Assess that. And that also ties in a natural way to your motivation and direction for what you'll do today. If you want to make that process tangible, you can actually create little hear good mantras, or as today's guest John suggested, actually write it down or email it to someone to make it real, make it tangible. If you can't be disciplined, be clever. And feel good. We're doing what this planet really needs, the deepest work, cultivating the root. John, would you like to say a few final words?
Hold on one second. Okay, there you go, John.
Thank you, Emily. And Shinzen, thank you. Thank you, Emily. Thank you to your whole team. I was thinking about that, the word I can't pronounce, but you mentioned with the sweat lodges, the word you say, all my relations.
Mitakoyasi.
That's it. That's it. And I was thinking about the ways that all the teachers you've had, all the people who've influenced you, and the way that your teaching is now manifesting and continues to evolve is just so beautiful. And, it occurred to me, that all these people that you've influenced who are in big and small ways doing this work in the world, and every single person who's on this call or who's listening to this call at this point is one of your, a member of your lineage, right? And is doing this work and is, has the motivation to bring love and the service that comes from that love into the world. And I just think that's such a wonderful thing. So I wanted to say to everyone listening, good work. Thank you. I hope to see you. And I know I'll encounter you and your work in this world as I go through my life, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for that. And Emily, if you would join us all together. Great work, folks. Thanks, John. Thanks, Em. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
John. Thanks, John. Bye.
Thanks, Shinzen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks to everybody.
Thank you. Good.